to read the baby his last rites. Prime for his first close-up in the scene, Erwin Chabon, OBGYN, dramatically spun toward my dad, like a flaming arrow from his Hippocratic bow sizzling through wafts of incense and dread. His words claim the room. You do your job, and I'll do mine. And did he ever. That man beat on me like I owed him money. My parents silently watched and waited, hoping beyond hope to finally detect the initial sputter-cough cry that has signaled new life since the dawn of time. And sputter-cough cry I finally did, sort of. The way my parents described my awakening bore no resemblance to the straining warm-up of a car engine on a frigid morning. It was more like a bucket of water into the face of a vagrant in a drunk tank. As a direct result of the doctor's heroics, my parents proudly bestowed upon me the middle name of Erwin. Carlos Erwin Estevez. Gotta admit, I'm a fan of letting a child grow up a little bit and, once they're able to flush the toilet, be granted a vote in the middle name department. Never has there been a more obvious candidate than mine. Erwin? Are you kidding me? Hey, Mom, Dad, you had two choices, not 50. Because even as Carlos evolved into Charlie and Estevez made way for Sheen, it's the undeniable clunk factor of Erwin that you can smell all the way down the hall. Charles Chabon is about as PB&J as it gets. Fuck it. Erwin saved my life, or at least kickstarted it, literally. The whole Born Dead event has had its hooks in me for a very long time. In so much as being fascinated by my odd arrival, I'm equally tormented by its shadow. Okay, tormented is a bit dramatic. Bewildered, more foots the bill, tip included. The umbilical cord is a lifeline, a time-tested conduit for delicately adjusted 3 squares a day mom chow. It's been difficult coming to terms with that lifeline morphing into the hangman's noose in minute one. The very same tube that kept my body perfectly alive for roughly 9 months was viciously restricting the switcheroo moment where air, food, and speech need to be quickly rerouted. This many years later, I remain convinced that my childhood stutter, the one that still haunts the adult me, is inextricably linked to that New York hospital accidental crime scene, otherwise referred to as my birthday. Is this merely a folktale I insist on embracing, at times even worshiping? The facts are the facts. How I choose to interpret or deconstruct them falls squarely on me. At some point, we're all victims of our childhoods. How often we choose to go back there and lend an ear to those whispers is some serious wheat chaff fuckery. Chapter 2. Memories are tricky. To clarify, one's recollection and the actual event never seem to wind up on the same road trip. Early life memories can be the thickest fog to cut through. I can never decide if an image came from the moment itself or from a badly creased photograph I glanced in a grainy album from the 80s. As I said, tricky. I was 2 years old, still living in New York, and headed to my first surgery. As a colorful distraction, my parents decked me out head to toe in a very stylish Roy Rogers cowboy ensemble, mini Stetson, boots, spurs, and 2 chrome Colt .45 cap guns. Surgery be damned. Those cattle rustlers and horse thieves were no match for this gunslinger. Gotta back up the covered wagon a bit. 6 months earlier, I had developed a dramatic reaction to people staring at me. If I noticed someone so much as glancing in my direction, at the top of my lungs, no location spared, I would bloody murder scream, "Stop staring at me!" Bummer for all of us because I was a pretty handsome child. It's prophetic that I had such disdain for those ocular invasions and ultimately became one of the most stared at people of all time. My parents' attempts to uncover the cause of this sudden distemper produced zero results. Some shit just shows up one day and decides to stick around. Kind of like people. A couple of months into my chronic outbursts, a new twist crashed the pathology party. My hand would shoot down into my pants, grab my balls, and wrangle that part of my crotch. The louder I yelled, the tighter my grip. Yeah, I still scream. I still grab my balls, just not both at the same time and never in public. Progress. It was a therapist friend of Mom's who witnessed a performance one night, and after putting two and two together, she recommended that I be checked out for a hernia. The strain and force of the screams had apparently torn a gap somewhere below the gun belt. A few days later, I was dressed to the nines for my gunfight at the